Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VB map and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources. Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. I had a lot of requests for more content, whether it be podcasts, blog posts, etc., on potty training. And I actually do love talking about potty training, but I knew exactly who I wanted to have on the podcast, and that is Tara Phillips. Tara is an SLP with 2 decades of experience in the classroom working with young children with autism. She is the founder of Autism Little Learners and has tons and tons of experience with potty training. She also has a lot of great resources to share with you, which are all in our show notes. And we talk in depth on the potty training process. Whether you are a teacher supporting students going through this process, whether you're a parent looking to get started or needing some troubleshooting help with potty training, we cover it all. We cover why it's a challenge. We cover how to get started. What are kind of the 2 phases? I think Tara's advice is super realistic for a busy classroom, things that you can start to work on and start to get your child ready for this really important and pivotal skill. Hi, Tara. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast.
Oh, Sasha, I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you.
So we're talking about a pretty specific, I would say niche topic, but I've gotten a lot of requests for more training and content on this. Today, we're going to talk about potty training. And I know, Tara, that you love talking about this.
I do. And, you know, when I was in the schools for 25 years, I kind of became the go-to person for potty training because I love thinking outside the box when it comes to potty training young autistic kids.
And it's such an essential skill when we think about things that have a huge impact on that child and the family. Like if you haven't gotten over this hurdle yet, I mean, it's like the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think throughout the years, but especially at the early childhood level, the 2 things parents would come in and ask me or ask us as a team, can you help with potty training and can you help my child talk? Those are the 2 biggest things, and oftentimes nothing else mattered in their book.
Yeah. And I mean, and you get it, like why they're coming in with those big priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we'll have to do a second episode on the early communication piece.
Right.
So to get started with potty training, and we'll kind of speak to both, you know, parents and educators, clinicians that are supporting families going through this, what are some signs that you look for in a child that they might be ready for potty training?
Yeah, I actually love this question because I always tell parents and educators that there are no prerequisites. And it kind of blows people's mind because, well, wait, don't they have to have certain things in place before we can start potty training? And for me, there's always somewhere we can start, even if the child's not showing those typical readiness characteristics. So typical characteristics we think of are like, maybe they're staying dry for long periods, or they're wanting their diaper changed because they don't like to have pee or poop in the diaper. And we will look at these things at some point because it will guide our next steps with them for potty training, but not at first. So I'll tell you what I go to first. I like to start with making sure that the autistic kids are comfortable in the bathroom. And you've probably been there too, Sasha, where kids are, their anxiety is increased in the bathroom. They have sensory differences that cause this anxiety. And so at first, it's all about preparing the environment.
I love this. And I think so many kids, even at the younger age or if they're a little bit older, they probably potentially have kind of this negative learning history associated with the bathroom. Because when a parent has, you know, a 5-6-year-old and they're like, we got to work on toileting, it's they've probably been working on it for many years. So there's some stuff that's happened in that space.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. There are things like the sound of the flushing, their feet not touching the ground when they're sitting on the toilet. If they're on a regular size toilet seat, it might feel unsteady or like they're going to fall in. So you want to think of those things. And plus, like you just said, past experiences. So if it has been a really, really big power struggle, we need to reacquaint with just being comfortable in the bathroom. And that's the first step. So you may not go in at first and say, we're going to sit on the toilet or any of these things. We might go in, have some like dimmer lighting or make it really comfortable, have a favorite song on, and maybe just read a book together and then leave. So we take away the pressure. We take away the demands. And our goal at first is just entering sometimes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And when you do this in the school setting, because also school bathrooms, I find to be like intimidating for little kids too, depending on the setup. Then do you kind of recommend parents do the same approach at home as well?
Yeah. I mean, it can be setting to setting. So, you know, it's not uncommon to have a child that's comfortable in one bathroom, but not another bathroom. So at school, the classroom that I was in for the last 10 years before I left the classroom was built for early childhood level kids. So we had small toilets and all of that. What they neglected to think about was automatic flushers. They put automatic flushers.
Automatic flushers.
They're our nemesis, right?
Yes. I mean, I, with my own kids who are like older too, like my older daughter, she wants me to put my foot up over the sensor while she goes to the bathroom because it freaks her out, which I get. Like,
yeah, you don't know when it's going to happen and it's really loud. And sometimes it causes like this big splash. So then all of a sudden their bottom's getting wet, and talk about sensory overload. And so in my classroom, we just always had Post-its in there, and we would put a Post-it up over the little sensor. And then, but sometimes when kids have experienced that, it's going to take a while to kind of reacquaint them with and reassure them and have them trust that it's hopefully not going to flush on its own. Same thing in a public bathroom with like the automatic hand dryers, or just the hand dryers in general, can be so loud. I can picture our local movie theater. That's one of the loudest I've ever heard. And so, of course, kids are going into different bathrooms, not knowing what to expect, not knowing if they're going to have these loud sounds go off automatically. So it makes sense with kids with sensory differences that there can be a lot of anxiety and negative past experiences surrounding bathrooms.
Yeah. And I like keeping the first kind of step and keeping the expectations that like our goal is not peeing in the potty. Our goal is not anything here. Our goal is like being comfortable in this space.
Yes. Yes. And I kind of talk about it in three phases. And the first one is prepare. And that means preparing the room, the bathroom, but also then preparing us. Mm-hmm. And that we can talk about in just a minute. But at first, when you have a child that you're starting to get comfortable in the bathroom, right? You are putting things into place to make the bathroom more comfortable, like a child-sized toilet seat or a footrest, having headphones available that can block out that noise just in case, and then having it be comfortable with like a basket of books to look at together, favorite things. Then you can start to build in some routines, like starting with pulling down the pants, pulling down underwear or the pull-ups. These things you can do without even needing to sit on the toilet, because sitting on the toilet might be the next bigger hurdle, right? Yeah. So just working on some of those other pieces, because there, you probably get this, Sasha, there are so many steps that go into potty training.
Yeah, it's not this like quick process that I think, you know, some people think, and we kind of are surrounded, I think, in parenting culture, like the potty training in a day and things like that. And you're like, well, let's like get our expectations in line with reality a little bit.
Yes. Anything that promises in a day or in 3 days is probably not going to work, especially with our autistic kids that have a lot more complex issues when it comes to potty training and everything that goes into it. And I think that if we can knock off some of these skills, like pulling the pants down, pulling the underwear down, pulling them back up, without even having the demands of sitting on the toilet or expectations of peeing in the toilet, we can check a lot of things off the list ahead of time that are going to help us down the line, so we don't have to try to address all of these things at once.
Yeah, that's a good point too. We're like really creating like a task analysis here of what our goals are over time.
Yeah. And I know everyone wants to get to the sitting on the toilet and the actual like, when are they going to pee in the potty? But that can come later, and it comes slowly. We just have to kind of make sure that the comfort level is there. And we want to create predictable routines, because if we have predictable routines, that is going to help anxiety go down, and it's going to help kids become independent. So let's get some of these predictable routines in place, and then we can move on to like the implementation phase.
So you mentioned in this like first phase of being prepared, you know, we want to prepare the environment, start to prepare that child. And then you kind of, you know, gave us a little preview. We also want to prepare the adults. So how can we prepare both like the families and the school side for getting ready for potty training?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that the adults can do, besides setting up the environment, is tracking when the child's diaper is wet and when they're having bowel movements, or if they're in underwear, when are they wet and when are they having accidents? Because that way we can see if there's any patterns that show us when the child is typically peeing or pooping. And that's going to help us be better prepared of when we should have them sit on the toilet when we're ready for that, and when it might be helpful to sit on the toilet for a longer period of time.
Yeah, getting those kind of schedules ready in your head and knowing that ahead of time.
Yeah, and then we're more likely to have success with them peeing in the toilet. You know, I would hate to have them sit on the toilet for 10 minutes, 15 minutes or something like that at a time of day where they never pee.
Yeah.
It's kind of silly, because you know, if it's most likely not going to happen, I'd rather catch them when it's going to happen, even if it's kind of by accident, because the more we catch them and they pee in the toilet, the more likely it is to click with them and then lead to success.
Yeah. The more times you have that feeling and it all connects. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The opportunity is there. So in this preparedness, you know, getting prepared phase, you mentioned a little bit on some of the kind of things that you want in the room, like, you know, preferred items, some books, maybe a little potty. What other supplies or resources do you need? And like kind of follow-up question, thoughts on like the big potty versus the little potty? That can be a controversial one.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm on the team of regular toilet, but maybe just the insert on the top that makes this toilet seat smaller.
Yeah.
The great thing with that is if parents, there are traveling ones out there. So it could go on any seat. If you're at the movie theater or wherever, you can just bring this insert with. And some of them even have like a little traveling bag. And some have a bag that you can put under it. And it has like little legs that come down, like a little stand. So if you were out somewhere and you couldn't find a bathroom, you could just pull that out and use it wherever you are.
And then it gives that consistency and familiarity of like, it's the same thing that I'm sitting on, even though we're at the movie theater.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point, because the more we can make it predictable and knowing what to expect, the more likely we are to have success.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
And you mentioned earlier stools to help get on a big potty. And this is something like I've learned a lot about. My middle daughter had encopresis, so there's like a lot involved with our potty training journey and learning about pelvic floor and the right positioning. So talk a little bit about like the big potty and like how to get them set up correctly.
Yeah, and this I've learned over the years from occupational therapists, who are amazing resources for things that we might not think about. So things like if a child's legs are hanging, whether they're on the toilet or on a chair in the classroom, and they're not, the chair's not the right size, it can help them, or they can feel unstable. And that can lead to dysregulation, can be harder to pay attention because they're just not feeling stable. You know, that feeling like you might fall off. And I think on the toilet, kids, you know, they're little, they might feel like they're going to fall in. And so we know that in the bathroom, if we are not feeling comfortable, it's really hard to go. I think of just adults, like if you are in the bathroom and someone comes and sits in the stall right next to you, even though there's like several stalls open, you kind of get that bladder shyness of like, okay, it's really hard to release now. Yeah. And kids, I think, are the same way when it comes to making sure they're feeling comfortable. So you could have one of those little stools if their feet reach it. But then there's also kind of those step stools where it looks like almost like a couple steps going up that can help kids get up and in there. So I think those are the two biggest things, a smaller seat and then somewhere where their feet can go down and be steady.
Yeah. And then that, again, contributing to that overall like feeling of confidence and comfort in that.
Yeah.
Setting.
Yeah. That stability, that's huge.
So once we kind of are through this, you know, first phase, as you've talked about, of being prepared, what does the next phase look like?
Well, yeah, that's a great question too, because the next phase would be beyond setting up the environment physically and comfort-wise, we want to have visual supports that are really meaningful and helpful and help create that predictable routine. So it would be like a sequence showing, okay, we come in the bathroom and then pants down, underwear or diaper down, sit on the toilet, whatever your process is. So these, you could have a couple different visual sequences, you know, for kids that maybe were just doing pants down, underwear down, and sit for 1, 2, 3, and then pants, underwear up, pants up. If we're doing that, maybe we have a sequence for them with just that. So we're not showing the entire process until they're ready for it, if that makes sense. And then we have the longer sequence that kind of shows the whole process step by step, from pulling down pants to sitting on the toilet to peeing or pooping in the toilet. Or you have an option for boys where you're maybe standing. And then it goes all the way through the process to washing hands. Now, I will say, sometimes for certain kids, I'll have a sequence that leaves off the flush. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, it is not worth that negative effect causing that anxiety and messing up all of our progress with potty training. And I've had people say, well, they have to learn how to flush. And it's like, they will someday, but it's not the priority for me right now with that child. There'll be other kids that are fine with flushing, but it just depends on the sensory differences. And I'm not sure what you think about that, Sasha, but that's kind of been my experience.
I mean, I like totally agree. I mean, my youngest, I think, actually never flushes half the time. Not that that's right. What we want, but I also feel like it's kind of age appropriate. Like if we have a younger kid, kids forget to flush. And yeah, from a like an end goal standpoint, like our goal is to go to the bathroom and the potty. Like that flushing piece can come later.
It's like prioritizing what's most important. And if we have a child that's getting dysregulated because they're scared of the flush, as they grow up, as they mature and we figure out and they figure out how to support their sensory system, that's something that can come later and it's okay.
Yeah. So when we're in this implementation phase, especially at school, and this is always like a tricky, you know, balance, when our kids are in that routine and we're practicing going and getting in that cadence, how often, I know this obviously depends on the kid, but how often do you try to have them go sit on the potty, and how long in general do you consider when having them wait and see if they have to go?
Yeah, that's a hard one too, because I had talked to a nurse who focuses just on potty training. And she talked about sometimes if you have kids go too often, it's hard for them to put together recognizing that they have to go with potty, actually peeing in the potty. And so, and this might be a good time too to talk about something called interoception. And this is kind of like a sense, the ability to recognize your internal bodily sensations or internal signals. And those signals are like needing to go potty. What does it feel like when you have to pee versus when you have to poop? Internal bodily signals like hunger or maybe not feeling good. These are things that if you have a delay in this area of interoception, that's why a lot of our autistic kids take longer for potty training, because they're maybe not recognizing this yet. And so how can you communicate that you have to go use the bathroom if you don't recognize that yet? And so we want to really be thoughtful about trying to recognize, help them recognize these feelings. So if a child's doing the potty dance, that would be a really good time to kind of link that and say, okay, you know, what does it feel like? The OT Butterfly is a really great resource for more information on interoception. But it's just really important to understand. I think people think sometimes like, oh, they're just being resistant to potty training. And a lot of times it's they're not understanding those signals the same as typically developing kids. And then you add on top of that the communication delays. This is why it can take so long for kids to communicate that they need to use the bathroom. We can teach them how to go to the bathroom, but sometimes communicating that comes later. And that's why, like you're saying, okay, well then what kind of schedule should we have them on to get them in there? And so I would say every hour is probably too much in my experience. But if we fill out that data, and we figure out when they're going, that can kind of guide us on, okay, they're really holding it. They're going three times a day. That would probably be sufficient for bringing them in. So I don't know what, with your experience, what are your thoughts on that, Sasha?
No, I actually completely agree. And I kind of have learned in the last maybe 5 years, I used to do a lot of potty training in home. And when you do that like intensive in home potty training, that's obviously different than in a school. But that feet, if you never let your bladder get full or even partially full, then our kids struggle to connect that, like what you've explained, that like I have to go, and that too frequent of bathroom breaks can then be kind of almost then reinforcing that, like I just pee a little, and then they don't always even empty their bladder all the way because they just like let a little bit come out. So that can kind of like form a vicious cycle as well. And you know, it's still also realistically a school where you're more than likely short-staffed, and even, you know, trying to maintain potty breaks at a regular cadence can often be super, super challenging. And if you don't have a bathroom right by your room, that's even more challenging. So yeah, looking at like what's realistic, but also what is going to provide us the best results over time. So yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because being in the classroom is kind of a whole different thing when it comes to the hands to be able to work on this. And so being able to give teachers grace with or take that off their shoulders, you don't have to go every hour on the hour. And like you said, that can kind of train this vicious cycle of we just pee little bits throughout the day instead of emptying the bladder. And that's a really good point.
And I think there really are like kind of two stages. And I've seen a lot of kids stuck in this first stage of like, I'm toileting and going to the bathroom on this schedule. Like when my teacher brings me at these scheduled bathroom breaks or the whole class, I can go then. But if I deviate at all from this schedule, I can't ask to go. And that like, you know, initiation piece, a lot of kids struggle then with that next piece. Like I'm good when my class goes three times a day, I'm good. I can do that. But when we go to a field trip, and I don't have those bathroom breaks at the same time, or there's a substitute and we miss our morning bathroom break, I am not initiating asking to go.
Right. That's so common. And part of it is a good thing. Like, okay, we have developed a predictable routine, which is what we want because it's going to help kids be independent in the process. But then we go back to that with communication differences and with interoception differences, that initiating letting us know when they need to go. Is it because they've learned this other predictable routine and they just aren't sure how to initiate, or do they not feel it? And thus, then they're not communicating it. So it's kind of something where it's individual for each child and you kind of have to delve into that a little more. But sometimes I find too, video modeling of different pieces of potty training can be helpful. So having a video model of another child maybe asking or using a picture to communicate that they have to use the bathroom or using their AAC device, showing that could be helpful too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good kind of way to look at it. Like what you were saying before, you know, when we think about why potty training can be more challenging or take longer for a child with autism, that there are these two big areas of need here. One is that sensory component and one is the communication component, and both play such a big part in really being independent with the toilet.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things, just from a speech language pathologist standpoint, that you can at least feel like you're making headway with this initiation piece is just making sure every time you go to the bathroom, you have the picture of bathroom. And whether it's on their visual schedule or you just have the single picture, however you're doing it in the classroom or at home. And if the child isn't holding it to get to the next location, you can offer that, or you just hold it and model it. But we'll say, okay, we're going to the bathroom, and then model it. And when you get to the bathroom, I like to either Velcro it to a bigger picture of bathroom that's in the bathroom, so it can have lots of the smaller pictures on it. That's just easier because then at the end of the day, you can take them all off and put them back in the schedule. So we would model it or have them carry it and match it to the location, because seeing that every single time is going to link that picture or that symbol means we're going to go to the bathroom. Eventually, just like with lots of different ways kids learn to communicate, that can become a way where they can signify to you that they have to go. I have had a student who, this isn't surrounding the bathroom, but he loved to come in every day and he wanted to play with his huge tub of dinosaurs. He wanted to do it every day, but they're always put away. And he found a picture of a dinosaur that was on just a general choice board in the classroom. And after we showed him that several times, he would come in, he would run over to that spot, grab the picture and give it to us. And it's kind of like he learned it through modeling, but then he was eventually able to initiate. And so I think consistently using that. And for parents, a lot of times I'll recommend just get a plastic cup, put a piece of Velcro on it, put the picture of bathroom on that. And when you're taking your child to the bathroom, grab the picture, give it to them if they will hold it, and have them just put it in the cup. And that is a routine to get there. And that can eventually help with initiation.
Yeah, I love that suggestion and like envisioning how that just starts to connect. Because we see that in like, you know, the example, like the dinosaurs, and it can be the same with the bathroom.
Yeah. And also preparing for both educators who maybe are going on a field trip or parents that are going somewhere like a movie theater or to a store. Preparing with like a social story, talking about using different bathrooms. And if you're really, really wanting it to have a great chance of working, find the bathroom that you're going to be going to. So you're going to the movie theater, pop over there, take a picture of that bathroom and what it looks like, and put that in the story. And that can kind of increase your chance for success too.
I love that idea. Or even like you have, I mean, we all have, you know, cameras on our phones and video cameras. Yeah. You can just take a quick video even just yes. like, here, look what it looks like, and really envisioning what it, you know, what it's going to be like when you're there.
Yeah. Kind of that video modeling with it. Even sure. if it's just point of view, it doesn't have to be a child using that bathroom. It's just showing so that we can prepare ahead of time.
I feel like I could talk about potty training all day, but last question, because there's just so many things to consider.
I know
it's complex, but your advice for parents or teachers too that are feeling stuck. You know, we've all probably had kids on our caseload, or if you're a parent, your own child, where maybe you've tried for a while and you're just like getting, you know, no successes. It feels like you're running into a brick wall. What's your advice for, you know, adults in that situation?
Yeah, I have a couple tips that I thought of with this. So one, and this is my favorite thing in the whole world for potty training, and this is why people would come to me, use a child's special interests and passions to capture their attention. And this is an extreme example, but it worked like a charm. I had twins that were second grade. And this was years ago. And their mom was like, oh my gosh, I'm desperate. I really need them to be potty trained. And what can we do? And of course, like you said, we had tried everything that we could think of in kind of the typical potty training realm. I was a newer teacher. And I was like, okay, how can I think outside the box on this? Okay, they really, really love country singers. So how could I use country singers to get them interested in this whole potty training thing? They had never peed in the potty at all, not even by accident up until that point. And so I made, you know, this is back in the early 2000s where we didn't have as much good tech. So I had the board maker picture from the waist down that had showed the pee going, the yellow pee going into the toilet. And then I went to Google Images and I got pictures of country singers from the waist up. And I glued them on. So,
oh my God, I love this.
Literally made a book with Willie Nelson peeing in the potty and Big and Rich and Clint Black, like all the country singers that they loved at that time. And these two, I had never seen them page through a book, page by page, in order, super fast, start at the beginning again and again and again. And both of them peed in the potty that day.
Oh my God, I love this story.
Yeah. So linking those interests and passions to a skill like potty training, it was what they needed to be like, oh, that's what you want me to do. Or cool, Willie does it, so I'm going to.
That's amazing.
So, and you can use anything, SpongeBob, Paw Patrol. I have one with Santa peeing in the potty. Like people in my school would come to me, okay, my student loves Frozen. Can you make Elsa and Anna peeing in the potty? I'm like, sure.
Heck yeah. So,
super fun. And I think the other tip I would have is to reduce the demands and go back to what they are successful with. Stop that power struggle. And so maybe we're going to go back to where we started talking about this, Sasha. Like maybe we're going and we're getting comfortable in the bathroom again, just reading a book with their favorite characters, maybe a toileting book. And maybe we just go back to their pulling down and pulling up their pants on their own. And then we can move back into kind of the higher demands or the next set of skills once they're comfortable again.
Yeah, I so agree. I think that power struggle is the correct phrase there. I think, you know, we're sometimes our own worst enemy. And when I say we, I like actually mean me. Like I'm a, you know, BCBA, former teacher. I used to do potty training in home all the time. And then with my own child, it was like, did not go well. And I was like, excuse me, like, no, you're supposed to be done by Monday, you know?
Right.
And I was in my own way. And we majorly needed just a pause and a reset and going back to where we were successful. But it's hard, you know, like, mm-hmm. especially if you've been in the field a while and you're like, oh, I've had all these successes with other students, but every kid is so different.
Yeah, it is hard. And especially for parents, when we have those setbacks, it's really hard because it was like, oh my gosh, we were almost there, or we were there, you know, we were. And for some reason, all of a sudden they're having accidents again. And this is common. So I want parents to hear it's not just your child. It's not something you're doing wrong. It's just part of the process for probably a lot of kids, but with our autistic kids, they often can't tell us, like, I'm not feeling good, or this happened and it scared me, or whatever the reason. We may not ever find out the reason why. Maybe there's this bit of regression. But if we go back and meet them where they're at, make them comfortable again, then we can go forward. And usually then going forward will happen faster and be easier, like the second, third time.
Yeah, I so agree. That's great advice. All right, Tara, where can everyone go to learn more from you?
Yeah, you can find me at Autism Little Learners everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, autismlittlelearners.com. And I do have a free visual sequence for potty training, and I'll send you that link, Sasha, so you can link that.
Great. I will link Tara's website and some of her social media channels and that visual all in the show notes. You can check all of that out. And thank you so much for being here. This was so informative from so many perspectives, and I hope has given people some new ideas and inspiration when it comes to potty training.
Yeah, it's definitely not an easy thing. But thank you so much for having me, Sasha. I love talking to you.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.